Camera speeds.
Hey, Mark.
Hello and welcome to the Focus Pool at Work podcast and the Shifting Focus episode. My name is Clemens and my today's guest is Jason Knoll, who is a first EC and also founder of Make Your Cart Go. Make Your Cart Go offers motorized electric wheel kits which provide a turnkey electric assist system. Whatever you are working on stage or facing tough locations, Make Your Cart Go kits are the perfect solution for every set. I do apologize that we had some problems with the sound during this episode, but nonetheless, I hope you enjoy. Welcome to the first episode of the Focus Pool at Work podcast, Shifting Focus. So this is a kind of a small series. I don't know yet how many episodes we will do. Probably, I don't know, 5 or 6. The idea is to get to talk about people working on sets as a first DC, as a second DC, whatsoever. And then maybe starting the transition into the industry side and to start maybe a side business, come up with their own idea for a product or a service or whatsoever, and just to sharing their story and their challenges and everything. And yeah, today I'm happy to talk to Jason Knoll. He's a first AC from Los Angeles and he's also the founder of Make Your Cart Go, which are electronic wheel kits for any cart which you can find on set, basically. So welcome, Jason.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Perfect. Maybe you start by introducing yourself a little bit.
Yeah, so my name is Jason Knoll. I'm currently located in Los Angeles, California, and I work as a first AC, mostly on commercials, but I do a little bit of everything. And my career started when I was living in Seattle, Washington, attending the Art Institute of Seattle for video production. One of my teachers, Lynn Shelton, was an independent filmmaker, and we hit it off as friends. And I started working on her sets with a fantastic crew, with the DP Ben Kosolke and gaffer Jeremy Mackey. Jeremy later becomes my business partner and co-founder in Make Your Cart Go. So we've been working together for well over a decade together before doing this wheel business. I got my start with just working on independent films as a camera assistant and working my way up, and the jobs just kept growing. And soon it turned into my full-time profession as the first AC. And about 5 years ago, I relocated from Seattle to Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. So why did you make the change, or when did you go to LA? Or, I mean, it's obvious everyone, LA is not a bad spot for the film industry, but.
Types of jobs I was doing up in Seattle were starting to get smaller. It was mostly corporate industrial work, and I really wanted to get back to working on scripted content. And I started working on a TV show that shot exteriors in Seattle called Grey's Anatomy. And then I started flying down working on their double up days here in LA. And every time I flew to Los Angeles, I grew to like it more. I realized I had a lot of friends and community already down here. And so it just made sense that if I wanted to continue to work in the industry on jobs that were not internal corporate stuff, that this was the move I'd have to make. And, you know, after being here for 5 years, the only thing I would have done differently was probably made the move sooner.
That's good. And yeah, I mean, you are also the founder of your Make Your Cart Go. How old is the company now? When did you start?
The company is a little over 2 years old. Mm-hmm. It started during the pandemic. Do you want me to go into the full creation story?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. You know, it was the summer of 2020, and there was no work happening in Los Angeles at the time. And summers in Seattle were the best. And so I decided to drive my vintage camper van back up to Seattle for just a week long visit. And my camper van's engine went out. And I was stuck in Seattle. And what turned out to be a 2 week or 1 week trip ended up being a 3 month trip. And during this time, work was just starting to come back from the pandemic, and there was a little bit of work happening in Seattle. And I was bike commuting because my engine in my van didn't work. I was repairing that, and I was riding my bicycle to and from set every day. And it started to become the rainy season, and my friend that I was staying with had an e-bike at that time, and he was like, you don't have to be riding in the rain and be hardcore, you know, jump on the e-bike, get there a little bit quicker, and maybe you'll be dry when you get to work. And, you know, I was reluctant. And one day I finally was like, fine, I'll try the e-bike. And I had a great time and riding the e-bike to set. And as soon as I got to work, I pulled my cart off the truck and started pushing it up this long driveway by myself in Seattle. You know, I'm lucky if I ever get a second AC, it's a one person camera department. And so I'm really working hard to get my cart to work. And I thought, you know, why don't we have this e-bike technology on camera carts? It makes so much sense. And I spent a couple of weeks Googling it, trying to purchase this product and looking for it on the market. And I was blown away that I had no luck. There was nobody selling anything like this. And my friend that I was staying with is an entrepreneur. And I came back and I told him about the idea of, like, you know, the e-bike was great. I just wish I had it on my camera card. And he was surprised as well to hear that it didn't exist and said, you know, if you want it, other people probably want it too. You should look into making this. And, you know, I thought about it for a long time and I was looking at all these carts on the set that I was working on, like heavy lighting carts with one person pushing it. And I was just like, you know, the technology is here, just needs to be applied in this specific way. And that idea really stuck with me and consumed my thoughts for a long time. And I came back to Los Angeles after I got my engine working in my van. And I was hanging out with my best buddy, Jeremy Mackey, who was the gaffer in all these independent films I grew up working on. And I told him about the idea and he just said, order the parts, let's make it happen. And so I found what I thought was going to be the right parts to make this prototype. And, you know, a month went by and I finally received the parts and I was super excited. And it was nothing what I was expecting. All the parts were completely wrong. But we used those parts to make our proof of concept prototype. And I send you a picture of that. It's in that folder. But yeah, we put it together in a day, slapped it on my cart, and it was really ugly, but it worked. It moved the cart with weight. And from there, both Jeremy and I were super inspired to really make this thing go.
That's awesome. That's nice. Yeah, I mean, was the idea first, or was there always something like sleeping inside of you where you say, okay, I'm one day, if I have the right idea, I want to become or found my own company? Or was this nothing, never, ever a plan of yours? Did you always originally want to be like a first AC and never thought about switching or shifting your focus into the industry side?
I think there was something I was lurking in the back of my head thinking about how to be a business person or an entrepreneur or how I can get a little bit of a side hustle or make a little bit of money. But I think the biggest part of it is I've always been a tinkerer. I've always like found ways to make things better, whether it's like making a small plate that can hold MBR that I can put on the camera in a different way for a specific purpose. Mm-hmm. I've always thought or saw things of like, okay, you know, a lot of great inventions in the film industry came from people working on set and had a need. And I think this is a good example of that. But I never sat there thinking, like, what business could I do? What could I make that could make me a bunch of money? I don't think that was ever something that I think about or thought about at that point, or even still think about this to this day. You know, I thought, you know, I have this need. Other people probably have this need.
Be your first
customer. If we can make it.
Be your first customer.
Yeah, exactly. I'm my first customer, and I was the tester for everything, the guinea pig.
That's perfect. And I mean, the engineering side, did you, I mean, you said you always came up with solutions for other things. So I guess the engineering, you did it all by yourself, or for the controller and like the engineer drawing, etc.? Or did you work with outsource anything? Or yeah, how was that process, like from the idea to the first prototype? Like, how did you, or did you just bought parts off the shelf and then tried to fix it, put it together, or?
Yeah, the engineering process for Maker Cart Go as a business is, it's a little scrappy, and it's kind of like how I've done everything in my life, which is figure it out, you know, work, find a solution one way or another, and tap into my network of people and my resources. So I knew that there was going to be a lot of electronics involved, and I don't know how to solder. I've tried, and it just doesn't work. And I'm lucky that my business partner, Jeremy, he's got a knack for electronics and can really understand the flow of that and how to make the electronics side work. And I've been a little bit of a mechanical mind of like how to make the mechanical pieces work. And so together we're a fantastic team, but I don't know how to use CAD software. I don't know how to do metal manufacturing. I didn't know how to do any of that. And so I was very lucky. My father is a CNC machinist, and he followed me out to California living in Solvang. And for my entire time, I've been a first AC. I would draw him a picture and send it to him. I was like, we need this like right angle adapter. And he's like, you know, if you can draw it, I can make it. And one of the biggest things that we were running up a wall against, or beating our heads against the wall, is making the fork, the metal part that holds the motorized wheel that attaches to the cart. We knew that it had to be done right. We can't just buy aluminum forks, stretch it, cut it with a Dremel like we did our first prototype, because over time that's not going to be structurally sound, and it's not going to put the wheel at the right ride height. So I tapped into my father as a resource and said, hey, we need a way to hold this wheel at the proper height that can go onto backstage carts, onto Jaeger carts, onto Jaeger Pro carts. And those were our main focus at the time, because that's what most camera assistants that I would be selling to are working with. And so my father, you know, I drew up some drawings. I put together prototypes, sent it to him. He looked at it, fabricated something in his machine shop that he was working at, mailed it back to Los Angeles, wasn't quite right. So that process was super clunky, but beneficial. There's no way that I would have been able to do anything without having that resource. And then I learned a lot about which materials to use that works best for that. And then as far as the throttle goes, the controller, I didn't want to get something off the shelf for that, because I wanted the whole complete system to look and feel like something that belongs on your cart on a film set. And if I just buy an e-bike throttle off of Amazon, you know, it's not going to attach to your cart in a good way. It's not going to look right. And it's just not going to behave in a way that I expected the cart to behave when you press the throttle. So I did a lot of shopping and found the right components that I wanted to use for the physical component. And then to make it a complete thing, I had a friend who worked at Google for many years as kind of a product developer. And he had a 3D printer, and he's like, yeah, I could make you something that can check all these boxes. And the first couple, you know, they look kind of the same, but didn't quite function quite right. And so there's a lot of like trial and error with that as well. Everything along the way is trial and error, like make something. Okay, it kind of works. How can we adapt? It's a slow process. I'm sure there's other people out there that have a more streamlined system, but I just kind of learned along the way.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember you showed me the, like, I think it was the first prototype at the Cinegear and the, like, the current version, and they really, like, you can see the evolution in it, right? So it was a really a big, like, also redesigning and yeah, do it differently. And yeah, I mean, it's a nice it's nice to see, like, products growing, like, from the idea to the ready to go product. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're referring to is what I showed you is our version 2 of our kit that we haven't quite announced or released yet. We're really excited.
I'm sorry. A
spoiler. I'm happy to talk. No, I'm happy to talk about it. I'm actually very excited to talk about it because it's pretty much the same kit. It functions exactly the same, but every piece is more refined and it still has the roots to the original version 1 of my kit. You can see it. If you're familiar with my version 1, the version 2, it's like, okay, I can see where the growth came from. And it's really exciting for me to see that in this product, especially it being, you know, 2 years old of like having my very first version of the kit, which I thought was fantastic at the time. And then now being able to show a more refined, more dialed in version coming soon. It's very exciting.
Yeah, it's nice. And you're also using two different kind of motors, right? Or there's a stronger version on the, and like, how was it, 48 volt, or I can't remember.
Oh,
help me out.
Yeah. Okay.
Version one.
Yeah, version one, I was using 48 volt batteries for what we call the location line kit. And on version two, we decided to go with 52 volt batteries just to give people a little bit more power or punch or like acceleration off the line. And then it has a little bit better cold weather performance. So yeah, that's something that's going to be coming soon on the version 2 kits, the 52 volt battery.
All right, nice. And I mean, also in the whole process of like creating the first product, and I mean, what was like the biggest challenges you had to face? Was it like the suppliers, because I guess you're relying a lot of like off-the-shelf products, because we are in kind of a niche market and you can't go to a manufacturer and say, okay, I want to have like 100 pieces of this, and normally his batches are like 100,000. so
exactly.
How's that working? Like,
so in the beginning, in the first couple of versions of my or first couple products of my version one kit, we had a lot of roadblocks. And I would say every step of the way was a roadblock or a challenge. But to give some examples, ordering parts from suppliers, we're doing really low run orders. Like when I first started out, my first year I had anticipated selling 10 units. And so I ordered in quantities of 10. And those first 10 went as soon as I made them. And the word got out pretty quick. And then 10 more people wanted, I was kind of taking pre-orders. And my vendors that I was getting a lot of my parts from, they don't want to sell 10 pieces. And so I was doing orders of 50, which even at that point was a huge challenge to get them to agree to runs of 50. They want to sell like switches or Limo connectors or any connectors that we're using. They wanted to sell them to us in the thousands. And not only could we not afford that, we were working in my 100 square foot garage that was also filled with bicycles and surfboards and all my other outdoor recreational activities, that even if we could afford to order like 1,000 wheels, I don't think that I could sell that many, nor would I have any place to put them. So yeah, dealing with suppliers has been a challenge that I'm learning to adapt with, but also some of the early problems was working out of that 100 square foot garage. The entire business is Jeremy and myself, so everything that gets done between the two of us. And if it's raining outside, you know, we're in the garage back to back. He's soldering and I'm drilling holes on my drill press. Doing assembly, and there just wasn't enough space. And and then once we completed the kit, we didn't have anywhere to put it, you know, with completely filled garage. And so we were selling them as fast as we could make them, which was good because if we made them faster than that, I wouldn't have anywhere to put them. But, you know, I think that suppliers is probably still a big hurdle today as far as like getting parts at a reasonable price in a small run, but then also getting suppliers to deliver when they say they do. You know, I've been lucky enough to work in the film industry for over a decade where if it's written on a piece of paper on the script, when it comes to shoot day, it's there, it's ready. You know, there's nobody saying like, oh, I couldn't, sorry, I know we're supposed to shoot it, we didn't have the thing. My vendors don't care about my deadlines. You know, I can say like, hey, I need this by this date, and they're like, oh yeah, no problem. And it'll be 2 weeks past the day, and they're like, oh yeah, we're still working on getting it to you. And that's a huge surprise to me. Because yeah, I'm just used to working in a field that like things happen a little bit more efficiently or like swiftly, perhaps. We're working on our version two, and we just went to NAB this past year, and Make Your Cart Go didn't have a booth, but we were really excited to go because we had a partnership with Innovative,
That's nice.
and Innovative was announcing or showcasing their motorized Apollo cart with all of our components in it. And we had prototyped it. We knew the version two worked. We had everything except for our connectors that go to the throttle to the control box. That's the one piece we were waiting on. And we were supposed to get it 2 weeks before NAB, which is plenty of time. And, you know, the night before we were supposed to deliver to Innovative, and we still didn't have these connectors. And, you know, I had to call up the connector company and say, hey, you know, we're supposed to deliver so we can go to NAB, this huge event for our company and for our industry. And the only thing we don't have is your connectors because, you know, you said you were supposed to get them to us 2 weeks ago, and I don't know what to do. And, you know, they're just like, yep, we'll get them to you when we'll get them to you. And, you know, we got it at the like final countdown, the very last minute possible for us to deliver. And that was a huge stressor for both Jeremy and I. And so we're learning a lot about how to maybe pad for that coming up in our business.
Yeah, but I can assure you, like for like almost every company has been there. Like big show is coming up, NAB or IBC, and they have this like prototype they want to show or whatsoever, and they are working like nonstop the weeks before, and it's getting ready. Like it's really fresh out of the oven most of the time. So it's kind of I don't know. Maybe it's these events what we need or the industry needs to kind of really get the products finished, because otherwise they wouldn't finish it ever. But they have like these like yeah these trade shows which they say, okay, we need to be ready there, and then everything comes together even if it's in the last second.
So I don't think that we're alone in that, but it was definitely our first time running into that, and it sure was exciting.
Yeah, I can imagine. I guess that's a normal experience, like almost everyone in the industry, on the industry side, goes through. That's
Yeah, for
nice.
sure.
And yeah, I mean, speaking of trade shows, and you've also been to the CineGear, right? And because I asked you a couple of questions before we were doing our interview, and one of the question was, what was the key milestones of or achievements in your experience? And you came up with one of them was the CineGear. Maybe you can dive into this. What was this the special about it?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what I got to look what CineGear 2022. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so CineGear 2022 was a huge milestone for me because we had only launched and announced the company a couple of months before. And we did that just through social media. We didn't do any sort of like publicity. We just started making some Instagram posts showcasing our motorized wheels. And we knew CineGear was coming up and I wanted people to be aware of us. And so, yeah, we made the decision to go to CineGear 2021 or what was it? 2022. And yeah, so we made the decision to go to CineGear in 2022 and we were still a brand new company. And we had our products pretty dialed in and I was feeling really confident and excited to go. And for me, Wild's a huge milestone is I saw so many people step up to carts and press the throttle and see how easily they moved. And every single person's face lit up. Huge smiles. And after test driving these carts, they would come up to me and tell me stories of like, if I had these motorized wheels on this job when I was working on the movie ranch, like my life would have been so much better. I would have been able to focus on being a technician and not being sweaty, moving my cart, being tired all being electric, move this HMI head cart. He had his like 16-year-old daughter just press the throttle and move it around. And he's like, this is what I push every day. I go to work. This is why I got a fat back. And if we had this, like my career would be extended. And so it was really rewarding for me to see how many people were excited about this and the way that they thought to apply this product and the way that it would make their lives better. And for me, that made this project of Make Your Cart Go feel like this is something really important to keep pushing forward on and try to keep making it better, try to make it more affordable for people. Because I think that a lot of people want this. And a lot of people have told me they had the same idea 10 years ago or 5 years ago, or they've thought about this all the time and it's nice to see it out there. So it's really exciting for me to be able to share that experience with strangers.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's nice. And I mean, and the selling network, I mean, do you sell them only through your website, which is makeyourcartgo.com, or are you also looking for resellers or working together with resellers? Like, how's this the sales part? Because a product is nice, but there are always two sides for a successful product. The first one is to make it, the other one is to sell it. So which ways, how's the current status?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Right now, we are doing direct-to-consumer sales off of the website alone. We don't have any retailers or distributors selling our product at the moment. And you know, it's kind of a twofold thing. And the first reason for it is, especially in the beginning, a lot of the sales came word of mouth. You know, we only have an Instagram, a website, and other people talking about our product. But second is, you know, I'm not a business person. I don't know a lot of like business savvy things. There's a lot for me to learn in the business side of things. And with our version one, we just don't have a thick enough margin to cut in retailers and distributors because our margins are so thin. You know, we're just, you know, we're keeping the lights on and getting enough money to order another round while learning on how to get our margins a little bit better. So for version one, yeah, direct to consumer sales, we don't have enough margin for retailers. We've learned from that, and hopefully our version two, we have a little bit more room to get it to retailers and distributors so we can expand our sales network. Because, yeah, doing direct-to-consumer sales is fantastic. You know who you're selling to. The customer can ask questions or even come into the shop and see stuff in person. But it's a pretty narrow sales window, and it would be really nice to be able to broaden that and maybe get the product out to more people that aren't on Instagram, aren't on social media, aren't web savvy. So that's something that we aspire to do, and I'm learning how to walk that tightrope, so to speak.
Yeah, that's, I can imagine there are a lot of things to learn. I mean, was it like from
For
the
sure.
beginning when you started the business? Was it, did you have to, because normally when you start, you're a freelancer as a first DC, so you're kind of your own business. And but then
Yeah.
creating a company and maybe work with one other people or one other guy, and then you maybe you hire a person, then you're three and four or five. So there are more and more different jobs coming in for you, which you never had to deal about. So what was like anything you had to learn like from the start until now, like administration wise or stock keeping or.
Everything. Yeah, there's so much. It's a never ending learning opportunities with running a business. So it's still a two person operation. It's just Jeremy and I. And so everything that needs to get done gets done by one of us or both of us at once. And we do have some hired help for like some soldering, but I have had to learn how to be a web developer. Jeremy and I do all of our own product photography ourselves, which is great with our background in film and commercial work, but then we have to edit that and then we have to get it to the web. And so yeah, learning how to be a marketer, a web developer, a graphic designer, handling the accounting is like something that just spreadsheets, it's yeah, there's a lot more to learn and there's a lot more responsibility than I had anticipated. And I'm happy for the challenge, but sometimes it is, pretty overwhelming. There's a lot, like inventory, like you said, of like, okay, we're running low on this, let's order more. Okay, then how do we get the cash flow to order that? And then now, once we get it, where do we put it? How do we organize it? And it's just building blocks and they kind of stack on top of each other. And, I forget what I didn't know at the beginning because of what I know now. I'm like learning things about like profit margins and what margins are acceptable and what kind of margins retailers would want. Like those are things that maybe I'm naive to and I should have known before starting a business. And I just thought more about the product and the product development and getting this in the hands of people, making their day on set better, that I was kind of blind to all these other business things in the beginning that I'm kind of playing catch up onto now. And there's always going to be more to learn. Just keep pushing forward.
So you don't didn't have a business plan, or did you make up the business plan? I mean, business plan can be one page, can be 50 pages. Like.
Yeah, I did come up with a business plan. I did get some really good business help from a dear friend of mine, Wes, who I was staying with in Seattle, and I told him, I was like, hey, I want to do this. Wes has started many businesses, and he was a huge asset in the beginning of like, okay, I've got a product, but now what do I do? And he's like, well, you got to create a business plan, you have to create a website, you have to register your business. And he really helped me out through all of that. And yeah, you got to have a business plan if it's going to be a business, I think, because even though Jeremy and I are a two-person team and we've worked together for years, there's still words when we say like this is what I mean. There's it can be lost in translation, and having something written down in paper is easier for like okay, this is what our goal is. This is what we're moving forward on. So a business plan was absolutely essential, whether we're sticking true to that business plan now, who knows? But that's, I don't think business plans need to be like set in stone. I think it's just like kind of a loose map on how to get it going. And I think that's good if you're gonna have a partnership to get that at least the first steps in writing to make sure that we're moving in the same direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, also think like a business plan is good to kind of visualize the things which you need to do, but it's not something like you never changes. It can change like every day or any day. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely.
And I mean, any big, well, challenges or things which you, if you could turn the back the time, which you would have changed, like what's the biggest like failures, which you came up, or I'm sure there are plenty, when you like start the first prototype, but that's kind of a different thing because that's an evolution of a product. But anything special to say, oh fuck, if I knew that before.
You know, I would like to say yeah, like if I could go back at this point and talk to myself starting out. But honestly, I don't think that there is. I've always been a hands-on person. I want to figure out things for myself kind of, and have, well, small failures, big failures aren't fun, but you know, have failures, learn from, okay, that didn't work. What can we do to adapt? So I can't really, I don't think I would have much to say besides prepare to no longer have any free time.
Yeah, how much is the like the ratio like because you're still working as a first DC, which is your which pays the rent or pays for the living, but how much is the
Yeah.
ratio would you would say like how much do you work as a first DC and how much is taking up the new business time wise,
Yeah,
and
it's an ebb and
is it getting more or is it getting less or is it so what's the
it's an ebb and flow, because being a first AC is a freelance career, and well, this year specifically with the strikes, and also previously when we were starting out during the pandemic, there isn't a lot of work, and so I have a lot of time to work on the business and do product development. But Jeremy is also a working director of photography, and I'm a working first AC. And so it ebb and flows depending on how busy we are on set. And thankfully, we haven't been super busy at the same time, but we both have taken like long jobs. Last year, I went to Europe for 3 months on a job, and Jeremy ran the business, and Jeremy took a job for like a 5 week movie out of town, and I took it over. But it's the business was turning into more than a full-time job. But luckily, you know, one of us can kind of steer the ship while the other one's out. I have always wanted it to be kind of the side hustle where being a first AC is my priority. And unless something drastically shifts and make your cart go, and I'm selling so many kits that I don't have time to go to set, which I hope is not the case. I love working on set. I do feel like it's going to be kind of a like as I have time, work in the shop, work in the business. When I get called for jobs, jump on those jobs. But you know, just because I'm on set, you know, the business is still going. I'm still getting messages and questions and orders and things to manage. And so yeah, it's like having two full-time jobs.
That's welcome to the world of a
Yeah.
lot of people who are starting their own business. But it's good,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, it's good because I think that's the only, or it's often the best way to start a business is when you have a current like job, either it's freelancer or if you're like do anything else. Because starting a business, the first like 3, 4 years, you won't see any money coming out of the business.
Exactly. Yeah, we're 2.5 years in, and I haven't received any. I haven't taken a paycheck or a cut from the business yet. I keep, you know, it's close with this, with times being slow with work right now. But yeah, first couple of years in the business, any available cash that we have, we put it right back into the business so we can be ordering more parts, making sure we have inventory on hand when sales come in, and yeah, the first couple of years, it's, you know, I hear it's real tough, and it has been tough financially, but, you know, I think it'll be worth it in the long run.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. So, I mean, one question regarding the shipping and orders. Are you taking orders worldwide? So do you ship worldwide? Because I can imagine they ship with batteries, or because shipping batteries can be quite challenging sometimes. So
yeah, we do worldwide sales, take worldwide orders from our website, and we are learning. Never-ending learning curve. We are learning how to ship the lithium e-bike batteries to different countries, and every country kind of has its own parameters. Jeremy took a class from UPS on shipping batteries, and so, you know, he learned a lot about what we can and can't do as far as shipping, but also it's dependent on the country that it's going to as well. But yeah, it's shipping batteries can be very challenging.
Oh, it's good to get orders. I think it's a luxury problem if you have more orders than you can ship. So
yeah,
and if they come from worldwide, then it shows that there's a that people like the product and need it. I mean, anything? I think we have a few questions left.
Yeah.
I mean, anything you would like talking about, like running the business, founding the business, anything you could recommend or share, because I think there are a lot of people on set, working on set, because the industry or the work you do it's so diverse, and every situation, every day is different, and so a lot of people come up with solutions for their problems they currently have, because the solution doesn't exist yet. But as you said, if you like the product or you need the product, then someone else would do. So I think there are a lot of people who are maybe have the idea of doing something. I see a lot of people coming from set, like Redworks or Laird from Focusbug. They've all been working on set, and then finally they switched 100% to the industry. But anything you could advise from your experience, how they should start, or
I think that set working on set and working as a film technician can bring great innovation. I think that a lot of skilled technicians that I've met in the field have fantastic ideas. And, you know, if somebody has an idea and they feel strongly about it, you know, put it on paper, tell everybody you know, make a prototype, put it to use, see if it works. Because you never know, you know, like I said, I had this idea of, I really wanted this. There's probably other people that want it too. If you have an idea, and you think it's going to make your life on set better, it's going to make a small part of your job easier, go after it. Slowly in the beginning, like, don't dump your life savings into trying to to make a business. Start small, make a prototype or make a drawing and get it 3D printed and put it into use, and, you know, make some for your friends, hand it out if it's small or whatever, and see what they think, get feedback on it. And take baby steps. But if you have something that you really think is a great idea, follow through with it at least a little bit, because you never know where it's going to go. Make Your Cart Go is just an idea that I talked about until somebody else was like, that's great, let's do it. And, you know, somebody out there might have an idea just like that. That could be the next, you know, who knows what, the next innovative, fantastic film product just sitting in somebody's head on set right now. And I, for one, would love to see it, whatever it is.
I mean, how long, because we did talk about like how the process was from the, how you got the idea, and then you talked to your friend, and you and Jeremy finally said, okay, we do it. But how long was the time between like the idea to the point where you said, okay, let's do it?
It was 6 months from the idea of conception to ordering the parts for the first prototype. And then it was a year of prototyping, of like getting the right parts. You know, all these parts look the same on the internet. Like there's 100 wheels that look just like mine, I've discovered on the internet. But I've learned that not all of them function the exact same way, or not all controllers are the same, like talk to the wheels and everything. You know, so yeah, I would say a year and a half from conception to having a product to sell, 6 months of from idea, conception of idea to working prototype. And then from there, after we had a working prototype, it was about a year of R&D and assembly. And it seems like a long time when I say a year and a half, but at the you know, pretty quick turnaround of coming up with something that, you know, I didn't have the pieces for to shipping a product, but we weren't working at on set at the time, so we had a lot of available time to like focus towards doing this. You know, I think if we were working a lot, we probably wouldn't have even pursued it.
Yeah, I think the time was it was a good timing, right? I mean, during the pandemic, there wasn't there weren't a lot of jobs, and then I mean, of course, then everyone got super busy. But now the last 6 months, it's kind of slow at the moment again. So
yeah,
it's good a good time to build.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Like anything else you want to add to our lovely conversation?
No, not that I can think of. Do you have any other questions?
I don't think so. I mean, we will also make a transcript and put it on the website. And if we come up with anything else we forgot, we will certainly add it there. We will also add a few pictures and links to the blog post so people can look you up. But otherwise, where can they find you? On Instagram or social medias?
Yeah, we can be found on Instagram, Make Your Cart Go. And that's our website as well, which is makeyourcartgo.com.
Perfect. That's awesome. Okay, yeah. Thank you so much for your time, Jason. And it was a nice first session. Very interesting conversation, good insights about your journey. And I mean, maybe one more question, maybe.
Yeah.
I think at the moment you're seeing yourself as a first AC, right? And Make Your Cart Go is still like kind of a side business. How would you say, like in 5 years or 10 years or maybe 5 years, I think it's fair, where would you like love to see yourself more on working on set or making the company grow and being so busy that you can't like find the time anymore to be like maybe 70% first DC, but only 10%.
Yeah. That's a great question that I get all the time. I think I really love working on set, and so I hope to never not be working on film sets. But as far as the progression and growth of the company is, you know, in the next 5 years, we really want to grow this and to be the best possible product that we can make while getting our costs down so it's accessible to everybody that wants it, as well as getting it to lighting carts, grip carts, craft service carts. Everybody that has wheels on set hopefully shouldn't be pushing their carts anymore in the next, you know, who knows, 10 years, whether that's it's my product or somebody else's, you know, that's kind of what we envision. But also when we started this business, I was told by somebody that has started and ran and sold multiple businesses at the beginning, at the stage of the business plan, come up with an exit strategy. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy and I said, you know, let's, let's do our best possible job to make the best possible product, but let's try to get out of the business in 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so we're really hoping that we build a brand that's recognizable, a product that's in demand, that a larger company that can really take what we've started mm-hmm. and really run with it, really refine it. And hopefully they, purchase it and maybe we consult for a little while. But, Jamie and I both have plenty of other ideas and interests and projects that we would love to get off the ground. This is just the first of many. And, we're still going to give it our 100% attention. But yeah, that's the goal in 5 years. Hopefully we'll be making a sale, that's whether that's realistic or not.
Yeah, I'm very happy to have asked that question, because I think that was a very interesting answer to it. Yeah, it's a good thing, or like good advice to have an exit strategy. Yeah.
Yeah, as much fun as this has been, I can't do it forever. I got to do other stuff. That's why, I work a freelance career. Is I need to continue to moving forward and seeing and doing other things.
That's great. Well, yeah, so thank you again. I wish you all the best. All the best, like making the next version and launching the next version. I'm sure a lot of people will love it and not pushing their carts by themselves anymore. So
yeah,
I think it's a very nice product. I've seen some Instagram videos of like early developers or early adopters, let's say it that way. And I think it has a potential to be, as you said, on every cart in the industry. So well done.
I'm hoping so. Thank you. And thanks for having me. This was a great first interview and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks, Jason. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Focus Bullet Work podcast and the very first episode of the Shifting Focus series. If you do have a company by yourself or you're just starting out and you want to share your experience from the transition from set onto the industry side, then please get in touch with us and send us an email to info@focusbulletwork.com. Otherwise, I hope you enjoyed and thanks for listening.